Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, well, to speak for yourself, I am Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you who's really to blame for the Saints' loss yesterday.
Damn, how much did you lose? And who has the edge in Super Bowl 53? We start every day with a Whitlock, so what you got today, bitch?
Bill Belichick put me in a clown suit Sunday.
You notice?
Throughout the NFL season. An expensive clown suit. Yesterday, inspired by the high-risk wager Clay Travis and Cousin Sal placed on the New Orleans Saints, I doubled down on my season-long narrative that this season would mark the end of the Belichick dynasty. I think this could be the end. Belichick's got some explaining to do, and I look at this season as Belichick's last season. I don't think they trust Belichick 100% because Belichick's on his way out. I think Bill Belichick's going to take his 5 Super Bowl rings and 8 Super Bowl appearances and go home. People will start tuning him out. I bet $10,000 on my favorite NFL team, the Kansas City Chiefs. Today, I feel like an absolute clown. I bet against Bill Belichick in an important football game. It's the equivalent of betting against death and taxes. You can do all the right things for 100 years, but you're still going to die, and the government is going to get its money. Chiefs linebacker Dee Ford lining up in the neutral zone on a would-be game-deciding interception was as inevitable as our president tweeting something inappropriate. The Chiefs lost 37-31 in overtime. The Belichick dynasty did not fall inside Arrowhead Stadium. It grew stronger. The Patriots are headed to their 3rd straight Super Bowl, their 9th in the Belichick era. And I look like Homie the Clown. I spent the entire 2019 football season criticizing Belichick for last season's Malcolm Butler Super Bowl decision. I thought that decision ruined Belichick. I thought it would irreversibly snap the circle of trust established between Belichick, Brady, and the Patriots players. I haven't been this wrong since I thought a shooting incident on the Las Vegas Strip would stop Tupac from putting out music. Tupac is the perfect reference for Belichick. Belichick is Machiavelli, the Don Caluminati. Death in Super Bowl 52 did not stop Belichick from putting out a platinum performance in 2019. The Patriots are still down until the end of time, and I'm out here screaming, Hail Mary! Bill Belichick regret running all the way through my body. The AFC Championship felt like a 12-gauge shotty. Let me repent my sin. I will never speak another ill word about Bill Belichick again. He is the GOAT of GOATs. He's the most powerful force in football history, more powerful than Jerry Rice, Lawrence Taylor, and Tom Brady put together. Belichick is greater than Tom Brady. If I could only choose one, I'd choose Belichick. I stand by everything I said last week about Brady. He is the most dominant athlete of his era. He is the Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali of his time. But Brady isn't Belichick's equal. No way. Brady was average yesterday. He threw 2 picks and should have thrown a 3rd. Belichick made Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce disappear. Belichick confused Patrick Mahomes with blitzes and coverages. Belichick is the primary reason the Patriots end their 9th Super Bowl in 18 years. Bill Belichick is why I feel like a clown today. All right, joining the desk now. Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson and Redskins defensive back Josh Norman.
Oh, man.
Marcellus, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to put this nose back on
because
I'm a clown.
That nose don't want none of you.
I am a clown.
Homie the clown.
Homie the clown.
I'm here to tell you Belichick is the greatest of the greatest of the greatest, and he's more powerful and more, he's greater than Brady.
Oh, look, look, I'm not taking anything away from Belichick the Great, the GOAT, but he's in a different lane than Tom Brady. They shouldn't even be in the same race, coach, player. But we're going to combine it because we're going to do some TV right here. We're going to end this barbershop argument, right? So who is the greater of the two?
Yep.
It's Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady for simple reasons. One, let's isolate the variables. Have we ever seen Tom Brady away from Bill Belichick? No. Have we ever seen Bill Belichick away from Tom Brady? Yes. Oh, how did he look without Tom Brady? I hate to say this, but America, Bill Belichick was a losing coach. Oh, damn. Is that true? Is that fact? Everybody on Google right now. No way Bill Belichick lost more games than he won before Tom Brady. Oh, yes, he did. So now we get him with the marriage of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and now we see what is what's occurred. This success, this resume, is in part because he found the greatest quarterback of all time. And what he found in him is not the greatest talent. He found the greatest sheriff that any coach could ever find in terms of materializing your message. Every coach has a scheme. Every coach has a philosophy. Every coach goes out there and yells at us to its white noise. But when you got the granddaddy of all sheriffs in Tom Brady, who not only could ball, but enforce that message to everyone. Case in point, Belichick says something to the team, and like every other team, there's someone in there sleeping, someone in there texting, someone in there nodding off and like, whatever, man, I heard that before. And then Tom Brady does one of these and looks forward. It's like a Kobe Bryant moment. When Kobe looks at them players, them boys get in line. And that's what he got in Tom Brady. That's why he is the greatest of all time and greater than even his coach, because he enforces everything that's the culture and Patriot way.
Whew. What can I say? Do I get anything to say? Can I say anything now? You know what? I agree and I disagree. I think that, you know, I always say this. I say they need each other. They really do. When you look back at Belichick's career, yes, he didn't start off great. He was a losing coach at Cleveland. But when he got to the Patriots with an owner that really trusted him and kind of gave him the reins, things changed for him. It really did. Sure. He was winning with Drew Bledsoe. He wouldn't even got to the Super Bowl, but that's when he got hurt and then Tom Brady stepped in. Yeah. So you got to say that with Tom Brady, it's made him that much better and vice versa. You know, Tom Brady's the player. He's the guy that's out there taking the hits, that's reading the coverage, that's throwing the football, most definitely. But you still have to have that guy, that coach, that's making the right decision. As you saw yesterday, he made Tyreek Hill almost disappear. You know, he made Travis Kelce almost disappear, you know, as a defensive coordinator. I mean, so they work hand in hand great together. So, like I said, I agree with you and I disagree, but I, you know.
You got to get off that fence, though, E.D. Pick one.
Hey, if you had to choose one, who would you choose?
Come on, E.D.
If you're starting a franchise,
I'm starting a franchise. You know, I'm going to have to say this here. I got to go with the players. I'm a player. I got to go with Tom Brady. Isn't that tough? Isn't it tough?
It's tough, man. I'm telling you, man, a coach can make the player in a way, and the player can make the coach.
Right, exactly.
I'm telling you, man, because I've seen it. I mean, we went through it. It's crazy because a coach can actually – you can be a good player. You can be a great player, and you can have great attributes and skills, but you're raw. You know what I'm saying? But you're a raw player. But then a coach come along – and then he gets you the technique. He gets you the form and the breakdown of what you're supposed to do, and this is how you do it. I mean, it's a sensei. Like, you need that. You know what I'm saying? So it's right. It don't go like hand in glove. You know what I'm saying? It's like the hand in the glove. But
if
to
you
your
had to
point,
choose
man,
one,
it's hard.
If you had to choose one.
I'm going to rescind. I'm going to go with Belichick. Retraction.
Well, hey, I'm going to go with Tom because right now he's Goku and everybody else is Vegeta. Just being honest, you know, somebody got to send over somebody.
let's keep it real on Belichick and his defense. The personnel over the past 20 years has all changed. And every time they get into the playoffs, they figure out a way to embarrass the other team for the most part with that defense. And Andy Reid is a really good regular season coach. Mm. And a really good offensive innovator. Belichick just put, I'm not the only one wearing this clown suit. I'm wearing it for Andy Reid and Bob Sutton and a bunch of other people that Belichick clowned. I just happen to be the biggest clown because I wasted my money and got emotional and just.
You went here. You went with your heart. Yeah. You went with your heart.
You went with Vegas. You went with
that's
Vegas.
What I'm saying.
In Vegas, you're going to spend it. You're going to spend it. Like, look, but here's the thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The thing about Belichick, there's no doubt he's the greatest defensive coordinator we've ever seen. Now, he's elevated to become the greatest head coach of all time. But when you're talking about how does that materialize into you have the greatest dynasty of all time, you need more than just a great defense. And what he has found is I can have – he started at Lawrence Taylor, so let's respect that he had some troops out there. And then you took that to Brewski and Willie McGinnis and all these great talents, Rodney Harrison, like – these had guys, and he still has guys. Stephon Gilmore's a beast. You should know that. Josh Norman as well, playing in that position. Here's the thing. The messaging, what is Belichick's greatest quality beyond being a great D coordinator? The extraction of your talents and your abilities to maximize who you are. Case in point, Wes Welker goes to San Diego, undrafted. Who's Wes Welker in San Diego? Y'all remember it? Wes? No?
Nobody? No.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Miami. No. If you were doing some analysis, you knew of Wes Welker in Miami. Then all of a sudden, he gets to New England, not on the defensive side of the ball. He becomes a household name. Julian Edelman now is in the conversation of Hall of Fame candidacy.
As well he should.
As well he should. So these things are happening because of the extraction of talent. But who's making them household names? And I'm giving you offensive side of player, offensive side players because of Tom Brady and his greatness. I'm not on the fence with it. If you make me pick, it's Tom Brady.
Look, man, you can bring any wide receiver in there. You got Tom Brady.
Yeah. What are they gonna I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to go back to Tom Brady.
I'm telling you. That's just what he is. Like, I know why you got on clown suit. I know why you feel bad. I mean, you got your place planted in the dirt. I mean, that's just what happens when you go against Bill Belichick and his five rings. That's supposed to happen. Yeah. But you can't ever do that.
He took a guy. You know they played a guy yesterday that had played 39 defensive snaps in the regular season. It's Keon Crossing. Mm-hmm. This was some kid. Some kid that wasn't even a factor.
Yeah.
They throw him on. He's one of their fastest guys. They throw him on Tyreek Hill. That's Belichick, man, with the he
with a double team. Which is Belichick.
I get it. Yeah. With another which is Belichick. Either. I think Crossen may have been undrafted and the other guy was like a seventh round pick, something like that. That's Belichick.
Extracted.
They're putting in Peter King's piece today. They put in 8 new offensive plays at 11 a.m. yesterday morning. And use 5 or 6 of them. That's Belichick and the culture he's created that they can even handle that. They put a clown.
You're making my point now, because preparation is the separation. You get caught up in the results, as you should. But what it is that culture, that climate where Tom Brady's sitting in that same meeting room with all these guys, team meeting room, and people understand you have to work as a Patriot. The Patriot way is not because of Belichick. It's because of the sheriff. It's because of the enforcer.
You're giving the underboss the credit for the John Gotti is still the boss, but not Sammy the Bull, the underboss. Tom Brady's the underboss.
It's the same thing. You've got Belichick over here, the defense. You got Tom Brady on offense. They working together. Yeah. If the defense don't do their job, Tom Brady has to even work that much harder. If Tom Brady don't do his job, the defense got to work that much harder.
Right.
So
right.
It's working hand. That's why it's so hard to pick one because they're hand in hand. I don't think this would be the same Patriots football team if Belichick wasn't there
right.
or if Brady wasn't there.
Right.
It wouldn't be, but they are.
But
so
we got to give credit to where credit's due.
Right. And seeing, go back to your point where you were saying they put the fast guy on Tyreek Hill. They was eliminate Tyreek Hill in the first place. They already saw what he was doing in the films before. Like, Tyreek Hill, only way he's going to beat you is over the top. If you could take that away from him, then what you going to do? But we knew that going into it when you just sit here and watch film.
Tyreek Hill had a big game in their regular season game, and they came back with a strategy that put him out of this game. Let me give you if you had a choice, let's go to The Wire then, since you don't want to go.
Yeah, give me some real mob.
Mob.
Hold on.
Avon Barksdale or Stringer Bell? Who you riding with?
God.
Stringer
Bell. See, I'm different though. You know, I'm different like that. And plus, that's been a long time. I got to recap. I don't know which one.
Stringer Bell's the underboss, man.
The smooth one.
Tom.
No.
Bill Belichick sets the table for everything. Man.
Every time we go into a new team setting, it happens in every sport on every team. whoever is the Don Dada as the player, whoever is the one, I played on team, every team I've been on, it was Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas on one team and Andre Reed. Then you go to Junior Seau. Coach can say what he wants to say. He puts us in a position to do it. But who's enforcing that? And it's that inner discipline that comes from you, and then it's that intra discipline that comes from that sheriff. Because after a while, we've seen great coaches before. If Belichick is almighty, how come he can't touch every single player? But Tom Brady is
does.
No. There's some players that have not been so great with Bill Belichick. Ocho Cinco wasn't great with Bill Belichick.
Couldn't learn the system.
Oh, I thought if it was all Belichick, he could just make that happen.
Ocho Cinco was like 55 when he got to New England.
But look, I'm saying Tom Brady is the one that beyond the field, because it's really the preparations, the separation. It's in those meeting rooms. It's when you got to take it seriously, when you can't say anything to the media. It ain't because Belichick just going to sit there and dog curse you or cut you. It's also because your peers, that positive peer pressure starts at the top, and the top there is Tom Brady.
I know who it is. Forget all that. I know exactly who it is.
Bob Kraft.
Robert Kraft.
I was going to say Kraft.
Robert
too.
Kraft. That's what I saw at the top. You say at the top.
Yeah.
It's Robert Kraft.
Yo,
I mean, and
Kraft
I, man, come on, man.
There's
I mean,
so many great owners without one single
owner. Well, hold on, Marcellus. Hold on, Marcellus. Eric's not completely wrong.
No.
The guy's only owned the team for 25 years. They just celebrated the anniversary. 25 years and 9 Super Bowl appearances, you got to give Kraft some of that credit.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when Kraft is, when you're sitting there saying, hey, Bob Kraft, Belichick has to run that decision. We're going with Brady over Drew Bledsoe. Bob Kraft is a guy that signs off on that.
Ownership, and, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not arguing with you guys, but we still got to keep a pecking order here. And Bob Kraft, Columbia alum, you know I love him, so I'm trying to put him at number one. But there are a lot of great owners who give the proper resources and support and still don't see the results. So that's all I'm saying. And that get out the way. Yeah. There's a lot of great owners without one Lombardi trophy.
Yeah. Clark Hunt's doing that in Kansas City, and Andy Reid screwing it up for us.
I love PristineAuction.com, an online sports auction where you can bid on and win authentic sports memorabilia from the comfort of your home. PristineAuction.com offers a daily auction where all bids start at just $1. This means an auction is ending soon. No waiting, so hurry over and check it out now. In addition to the daily auction, they also have several other formats, including a 10-minute auction, which is great. Items pop up for just 10 minutes, rapid fire. Some of these deals we are seeing are insane. Don't miss out. They guarantee the authenticity of all their items, and everything you purchase comes fully authenticated by only the most trusted sources. And the best part? It's so affordable. I just saw an autographed Magic Johnson photo that sold for only $12. Go check out PristineAuction.com now. You'll be hooked. It's free to register, free to bid, and you only pay for the items you win. That's Pristine Auction, spelled P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And when you register, be sure to select Speak for Yourself from the drop-down menu in the How Did You Hear About Us section. This lets them know I sent you.
All right, today on Speak for Yourself, we'll look back at some of Martin Luther King Jr.'s greatest accomplishments. On August 28, 1963, MLK delivered his I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington, which brought his message of nonviolent resistance to the nation's capital and helped facilitate the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dickerson and Josh Norman are back. Time for a big story. Let's now move to New Orleans, where the Rams came back to beat the Saints.
I see you.
And advanced to the Super Bowl yesterday. But not without some controversy. Late in the fourth quarter, the refs missed what many people consider clear pass interference call in the red zone that would have helped ice the game for the Saints. Instead, the Rams got the ball back, tied the game, then won it in overtime. Afterwards, Sean Payton addressed the play and his talk with the league about what happened.
For a call like that not to be made, man, it's just hard to swallow, and then to get a phone call. We spoke initially, then I called to follow up, and first thing Al said when I got on the phone, we messed it up. Listen, it's a hard job for those guys because it's happening fast, but I don't know if there was ever a more obvious pass interference call that, you know, here it is, the NFC Championship game. So tough one to swallow.
I ain't played the ball. If I would have played the ball, then it would have been a different story. But since I just went straight to him, and when I seen his hands go up and I hit him, I just heard the crowd go crazy, and I was like, oh, this is a flag. And then I got up, he said incomplete. I was like, oh.
Obviously, in a situation like that, where it seemed like everybody in the world saw it, that's tough. There's a lot happening out there, and it happens very, very fast. Obviously, if they were replaying pass interference, or you know whether somebody was hit early before the ball got there, then I'm sure that would have been reviewed today, and it would have been found that that was PI.
According to the Washington Post, this offseason, the NFL will consider making pass interference reviewable. I disagree with this move completely. First of all, I think this is an optical illusion. When I watched the game live, my first thoughts were the DB was stupid. The ball was past the receiver and wide. It wasn't catchable. And I was like, why did he even go even make a play? Because the ball was off target. Now they show you this replay, and from the angles they show it to you, it looks like he hit him before the ball got there. I don't believe that. Now listen, was it helmet to helmet, and could they have called that? Absolutely. Pass interference, I don't buy it. And that's why replay is not infallible. Yeah. And I think some of this is an optical illusion.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Let's not expand replay for those same reasons. Imperfect beings will be the ones reviewing in replay systems. So if you want to expand it, it's funny, we're still going to have an imperfect world because there's an imperfect person making the value judgment on even things that are reviewable, which is interesting because Bill Belichick's been on record saying all plays should be reviewable. All right, Belichick. We're watching the game live, and it's on DVR, too, because it's going to take that damn long to go through an NFL game if they get to review everything. Plus, in the trenches, you know, where the real men live. You know what I'm talking about,
hey,
Josh?
Man, you know what I'm saying?
Josh's like, nah, not down there. We got a penalty on every play. If we're going to start reviewing and not reviewing plays, that's going to be an issue in terms of time and in terms of effectiveness. So my only 2 cents is to say, if you're going to expand replay, do it with the technology, which is when a referee throws the flag. As soon as the flag is thrown, in that instant, someone back in New York is reviewing what that flag is. And then they buzz that same referee in the quickest moment possible and says, yes or no. That's it. And then either you pick up the flag or you go with that. Other than that, this whole we go into this television screen under the booth in the monitor, take it forever, forget all that. Don't expand it for those reasons.
No, I don't think you do. I just don't. I feel like if that's the case, you're going to say if a holding too. He grabbed his face mask. I mean, I just feel like.
Is this you or the Rambassador talking? I agree with you. You or the Rambassador?
Look, the Rambassador, when I saw it yesterday, I saw it, I'm like, that should be pass interference. But it happened so fast. When they showed it on replay, slowing it down, it looked like pass interference. It really did. Slowing it down. But you know how it is out there. Both of y'all, that stuff happens like that. Yeah. Like super fast. They just hit. And if he'd have turned around, it'd have been no question. But I still think that, you know, the replay, you can't replay everything. You just can't. Did he have his face mask? You know, did he hold him? I mean, you can't do that. That's going to really slow game. Then it takes the human element out of football.
I mean, greatness, Marcellus, Willock.
Wait a minute. Them accolades and adjectives again. Greatness. Willock.
I didn't do that. In the trenches, big time. I just had to, man. Every time. This my guy. You know what I'm saying? But hey, literally, I'm on the defense side of the ball, and I'm a defensive back. So the perspective of where I'm coming from is two worlds. And yes, it is a big call. What about when you call pass interference when you don't touch the guy? What about that?
Yeah, but we ain't gonna make
But literally that play in itself, I mean, yeah, that's clearly pass interference. He even told you he did. Yeah. So when you don't get a buzzer down about that and the whole world see it, that's a bad look. That's for the league. So you gotta figure out a way to where if that's not a play to call, then what is? Because right now it looks like some fishy stuff going on.
No, I want to say that there's nothing fishy about what happened here, in my view, other than, I'm telling you, the referee on the spot was like, ball's not catchable, it's a bad pass. It wasn't interfering with this dude's ability to catch that ball.
Are you kidding me? He ran into him.
I promise you. The ball was by him. Trust me on this.
He got to have super stretch arms to catch that ball.
No, the ball
was by him. Well, he got to at least try to get to it.
And so they no-called that, and then they said, do we call helmet to helmet? And it's like, no, we're not getting in this.
Bang, bang.
It's bang, bang, and we're not getting in this. I don't think this is in any way trying to put L.A. in the Super Bowl. I don't think the referees weren't given bad instructions. They were given great instructions because up until this point, they had stayed out of it, and it was a great, clean, relatively clean game. And I know they missed the face mask on Jared Goff at the other end, but I just don't. I'm for massaging the rules and to me, allowing more contact between receiver and defensive back is the direction we need to go, not more pass interference and just handing out first downs like Halloween treats.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
I'm just saying.
I'm for allowing more contact. And I am for... you can challenge, perhaps. Add this to the challenge deal. But just more replay, nah.
Yeah. I mean, look, watching that Saints game, it looked more like the NBA playoffs than it did in NFL playoffs. Because like you said, they swallowed their whistle. They were just like, hey, go play. I mean, there are memes.
I loved it.
I don't love it because you know what? You set the tone in the regular season. I need the regular season to be exampled in the playoffs. I need to see that because... Look, a foul's a foul, and I hate when we say high leverage moments. Hey, that is not a foul. Hey, if you foul me, bro, if you committed pass interference, you committed it first play, first down, fourth quarter. It's the same for me. So when we saw memes going out there, all the face masks against the Saints, and we saw the meme where they had a face mask against the Saints twice. One time they stepped on the head. One time they went when the play clock was zero. And it's just like, but they swallowed their whistle a little too much for me.
They did, but you can kind of feel the environment and temperature of the game, how it's going to go at the beginning of it. When you go over and talk to the refs and shake their hand, and they be like, hey, we're going to have a good game, right? We're going to have a good game today. So it's like, okay, well, they're going to let us play a little bit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They're going to let us get out there and get after each other. But as a defensive back, I can say that in that position, we're going to get in front of you. We're going to try to interfere you because we'll never give you that 15 yards or give you that whatever spot foul is instead of giving that touchdown. And you got to get that.
Al Riveron, that's who Sean Payton talked to back
in
New York.
That we've never won with. The Rams are 0-8 with him. We're 0-8. We finally got a win with him. Yeah. They petitioned to get him off that game because we've never won with him. So then, I mean, he's like,
he wouldn't have won if that
Bill Vinovich.
Wait. You know what? It's like to say,
y'all would have lost. That would have been first and goal at the 5-yard line with one timeout for the Rams. They would have made you waste the timeout. They would have ran the clock down to 5 seconds, kicked the field goal.
Now, is it a guarantee?
Yes.
Guarantee that they'd have ran in for a touchdown pass? Guarantee.
Not a touchdown. They don't need a touchdown. Y'all wouldn't have been able to go back and score like you did with 141 to go.
We wouldn't
have had the ball again.
We would have 40 seconds?
No, they would have wasted all the time on y'all. They would have ran the ball three times.
That would have decided the game.
That's game.
That would have decided the game.
Yeah, that hat got to come off.
It is. It's heartbreaking, though.
It's game.
It's heartbreaking, man.
Continuing our look back on MLK Day, on December 10th, 1964, Martin Luther King Jr. became the youngest man to win the Nobel Peace Prize for his leadership of nonviolent resistance to the racial prejudice in the U.S. Just one of many reasons we celebrate his life today. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. Eric Dickerson is back, and we're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Michael Vick. Let's return to New Orleans, where the Rams got a controversial win over the Saints in yesterday's NFC Championship game. While a lot of the focus has been on the refs missing a late pass interference by the Rams, the Saints made some mistakes of their own, surrendering a 13-point lead, the biggest playoff lead they've blown in franchise history. And a couple of plays before the non-call, Sean Payton had a chance to milk some clock, but caught a pass that fell incomplete. That's what I think we're all overlooking. Everybody thinks the refs decided the game. No, the refs chose to say that ball was uncatchable, was uncalling pass interference, and they swallowed their whistle on the helmet to helmet. Sean Payton's decisions, though, first down, that inaccurate pass by Drew Brees should have never been called. Run the ball, run the clock. All three plays should have been runs with Kamara and Ingram. Make them use up their timeout, run the clock, kick the field goal, game over. He went super aggressive, and it blew up in his face.
Well, that's who he is, you know. Grandma always said, the way you come in is the way you're going to go out. And you super aggressive going in, and obviously they won a Super Bowl by being super aggressive, onside kick. We saw him advance because of, a fake punt?
Yep.
Super aggressive. Well, it's hard to turn that valve off in moments like this, and he went for the throat. He went for the jugular. And Drew Brees, I don't want to enter him into blame conversation, but
why not?
Well, this is why. Because they still have football to play after Sean Payton's decision here and after Drew Brees went out there and put up his worst home game performance this year. And actually it was his worst home playoff game performance ever for Drew Brees. So wasn't Drew Brees MVP early most of the season candidate out there, what we saw yesterday? What happened was they still had the ball in overtime. They had the ball first, overtime. So I don't know. When I played and you made a mistake that felt grave, but you still had plays to make, Julian Edelman comes to mind. Julian Edelman, oh, my God, almost touched the punt. That got overturned. Then he went out there and tipped the pass that got intercepted and still went out there and made plays after. Once you make plays or you have opportunities to make plays afterwards, I kind of minimize the blame game going before because that's just a part of playing football.
Well, we don't blame. You know, that's football. You know, right. We're a team. But, Jason, I agree. That when he made that call to throw that ball to Michael, I jumped up. I said, thank you. Thank you for throwing it. I'm so happy. Now we're going to get the ball. We got plenty of time left. I mean, you know, sometimes Sean Payton is a really good coach, great coach. But they get arrogant because they think they, you know, we gonna show them. We're going to show them how smart we are. Yeah. Another play that they should have been ready for was the fake punt that we ran. I mean, we ran the fake punt like on our, like, 35-yard line. I was afraid. I'm like, they wasn't ready for that. They know we do it. We did it last time, and that cost us the football game. Mm. So, for sure, I really believe that was one of the worst calls by throwing the football to Michael Thomas, and not run the ball. That would have, to me, sealed that game for him.
Like you guys just said, this is going to sting with Sean Payton for a long time. I mean, we thought last year's ending was bad. I mean, with the Vikings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to be in that position as a coach, you prepare as a team, you prepare for those type of situations. And if you didn't learn from what happened with Seattle in the Super Bowl a couple years ago and what happened with Atlanta in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, being in the red zone, not running the football, not playing the clock, not playing the percentages, this will continue to happen. But this is as much respect as I have for Sean Payton as a coach. I think he's very intelligent, cerebral. That was a bad decision to throw that ball on first down. And once it happened, the only thing I could say to myself is I hope this don't backfire. And it did. Now you have a controversial call that you're leaning on, and it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Right. It doesn't matter. In that moment, you make that decision to run the football, milk that clock, and then give the Rams an opportunity to go down and score with the least amount of time possible.
Love your point. It's like a smokescreen. Hey, don't look over here at what I did. Don't look over here at the fact Drew Brees just played a poor game. Mm. That early in the game, we had a chance to take control of this rather than settling for field goals, but our offense was inefficient. And then our quarterback, at crunch time, was inaccurate to Michael Thomas, and he was inaccurate on third down. Mm. The trust me, what contributed to that non-call was the inaccuracy of the pass. If the pass is more on target, they're
forced. Talking about the first pass.
No, I'm talking about the second.
Second
I'm talking
pass.
About the second.
Second
one.
Okay. Pass.
What contributed to the non-call of the pass interference was the inaccuracy of the pass. So all of this ranting and raving about the non-call to me is trying to draw attention away from the fact that Drew Brees and Sean Payton came up short. Love them both. Mm. Great. Man. Great Hall of Famers. But they came up short here.
Yeah, I mean, it's gut-wrenching. The type of losses. New Orleans last year and the whiff.
Case Keenum.
Yeah, and then you talk, God, Seattle in the Super Bowl. You could talk about D4. Damn it, if you on sides, bro. It's gut-wrenching, but the commonality and common denominator of all those is that's football.
That's football.
And football. I hate to be cliche, but every time we went out there, like even in your greatest games, you remember you go in a team meeting and you sit there, your chest all up in your face. You so like, what up, what up? You ready to watch the film? And no matter who you are or what you did, there are mistakes that have been made. And in that all 22, when we're watching the film without the sound, Coach is saying, do this better.
Yeah.
Do this better.
Yeah.
That's a mess up. That could have cost us.
Right.
And I just think right now we saw some glaring examples of what most football games look like. That's a bad play right there. But they still could have won that game, and we saw the Patriots do it.
They was in total control of the game from the beginning. It's just the Rams, they hung in there, they fought, and that's what four quarters of football is all about. But I still wish that Drew Brees would have took the liberty or took it upon himself to change that play at the line of scrimmage. He had an opportunity. It was so many things that could have transpired in that moment. I mean, and it's the reason the Rams are going to the Super Bowl.
Anytime you let a team hang around.
Yeah.
You let them hang around. Because they let us hang around. I mean, we were not playing great in the first half. They couldn't hear. And the offense was, you could tell it, man, they're off rhythm. Because you really couldn't hear in that stadium. I said, when we went in 13-10 at half, I said, oh, we're going to win this game. I said, because they're going to try to, we don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose it. And that's exactly what happened.
I think a point, I can't remember who said it. I think ego plays a role in this. All this hype around Sean McVay, and Sean McVay is the next Sean Payton. I think some of that crept into Sean Payton's thinking in terms of there's a conservative way to go ahead and win this game, but you want to deliver the dagger.
You tried to bury him.
Tried to bury him. Instead of just taking what's there and what's given, because when you look at it now, Sean McVay won the game with his fake punt early. He did undermine the whole he is the next Sean Payton or maybe the next Bill Belichick. I think ego played a role in this, and Mike, you made the point, and I think it's indisputable.
Me and I disagreed on one thing when you said that we should have went for the touchdown on the 4th-and-1. I said, you take the points.
Take the points.
You take the points.
McVay went conservative.
He went conservative. We did that in week 9. We didn't take the points, and we ended up losing because of that. That put us in a bit bad situation. We would have been up 3. Instead, we'd have been down 3 and losing by 10. So you take the points when you're on the road.
Y'all stay off Sean Payton. Willie D.
Look, I like Sean Payton.
Congratulations to the Wiley family,
hey,
who welcome their newest member,
bro.
Kaya Simone, on Friday night. Not surprisingly, she was born weighing in at a whopping 9 pounds, 14 ounces. Mm. Congratulations, Marcellus.
So nice, bro.
Thank God. Good Wiley barbecue.
Thank God she looked like that beautiful wife you got. Thank God.
We got baby girl.
We have a gift for you.
Oh, nice. There it is.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice.
Give it to my little mama. Do I open it here or no?
Oh, a bottle of Casa Dragones for her 21st birthday.
Man, she ready. She big enough. She came out 2 feet long, man. Oh, my gosh. Baby
pounds.
Just kept coming out like this. Like, baby. she got the muffins. Look at
her.
This is not big enough for my daughter. She is huge.
She outgrew it already.
Appreciate that.
All right.
That's
let's
love.
Move on.
Oh, man.
Let's move to Atlanta, where the Patriots and Rams will face off in Super Bowl 53 in 2 weeks. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick find themselves in the big game for the 9th time in their seemingly endless run as the greatest dynasty in NFL history. So maybe it's no surprise they open as slight favorites over the Rams, who are looking to launch a new NFL era under the guidance of boy wonder, Sean McVay. Mm. All right, no surprise where I'm at. I will never, ever bet against Bill Belichick.
Same here. I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
The Patriots have the edge because Bill Belichick is still the coach of the Patriots, last I checked.
Yeah. You've convinced me as well, and it was before your Whitlock. It's just the fact that when you see the Patriots stifle, and I'm not even going to yesterday's game.
You're going against your boy McVay.
I'm going to, and you know I believe this if I'm going against the McVay and the Rams. The Chargers walked out there and didn't look like they belonged on an NFL football field. And the Chargers were amazing, the most balanced team in the playoffs. Oh, they had no chance. And I was like, okay, that's the Chargers, first time in the playoffs with this core group. They're going to get back there. We're going to be fine. KC is ready. Okay, a new quarterback is going to take them over the hump. This core group's been in the playoffs before. They're going to take that next step. Oh, my God. That first half, they had 32 yards. With Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, 32 yards. I was like, So what's going to happen now? It's going to be the first time that this core group for the Rams is going to be in the Super Bowl. And everybody tells you, Super Bowl's different. That's what they say. And I'm just not trusting Jared Goff What happened to Todd Gurley yesterday against the Saints? If the Saints can neutralize Todd Gurley, what you think Bill Belichick going to do to them boys? So just because of schematics, even though I know McVay's a genius and I love the Rams, I'm going with the Patriots.
Well, I wonder who I wonder, I wonder who I'm going with. I wonder. Man, first of all, let's go back to 17 years ago. Let's go back there. Was it 2001? The Patriots got into the Super Bowl through this thing called the Tuck Rule. Let's go there. They got in because it was a fumble, but they gave him the ball.
True.
Which they shouldn't have. It should have been the Raiders and the Rams playing the Super Bowl. They get to the Super Bowl. They get there to play the Rams. The Rams were favorite. What do? They film the Rams practice. So they know.
Allegedly.
Ain't no allegedly. They film the Rams practice. That's what all criminals say. Allegedly, I did it.
Yeah,
you know,
not guilty.
Not guilty. That's you on tape? Well, it looked like me, but it ain't my mind ain't there, so it ain't me. Look, let me tell you something. We want to play the Patriots. If you want to say you're the best, you have to beat the best. Coming back on the plane, the team playing last night, all these young guys, they're watching the game. Good. We want to play them. That's who they want to play.
Were they drinking on the plane?
No, they don't.
Oh, you can't do that no more?
No, they can't do that no more.
They sound drunk.
I asked for some alcohol.
You don't want the Patriots. You don't want that.
Bring on back.
Three weeks ago, everybody was saying, oh, man, you too. Yeah. Patriots, they done. I didn't say this, the Patriots done. This, to me, is where the Patriots in. Still a great football team. For his talent, I give them the coaching edge, most definitely with Bill Belichick. Yeah. The quarterback, most definitely with Tom Brady. But I still believe that our quarterback, Jared Goff, is a good young quarterback. Mm-hmm. Our young coach is very innovative, very smart. He's an X's and O's guy. He's just like a Belichick. He's crazy about
it. Oh, yeah.
He's that guy. Amazing.
Love that guy.
So, for his talent-wise, playing against the Patriots, it's going to be a good football game. It's going to be a good football game. Just like I said, New Orleans. Mm. The whole time, even we were down 13-0, I said, we're still going to win this game. I said, we're going to win it by three. People thought I was crazy.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Eric. Talent-wise, you look at the Rams and you look at how they look and you say, look, this is a high-flying team. They got athletes all over the field. They got Jared Goff. Just by the look, you know, they look like they can go in and beat any team. But at the end of the day, when, like Jason said, I'm not going against Tom Brady ever again. Mm. That's the downfall. That's the downside. They have to face Tom Brady. Belichick is a great coach, and they got 2 weeks to prepare, which is a scary thing, too. But Tom Brady and the game plan that's going to be implemented,
who did you pick
they're going to give the Rams
a
fix.
Who did you pick last year in the Super Bowl? Tom Brady? Who did you pick last year?
No, I picked the Eagles. I would have had that same hat on.
I picked the Eagles.
Yeah, last year around this time if I was on the show.
But did you think they're going to win? You thought the Eagles really going to win?
I knew we had a chance to win, but I wasn't 100% guaranteed. Like, how can you go in there 100% guaranteed facing Tom Brady?
I feel like it's not possible. I feel like the Eagles are going to win that game, just like I took the Giants when they played the Patriots in 2005, when in that Super Bowl, when they got beat. I said, I don't even want the points. I'm going to take the Giants straight up. I feel the same way in this football. I feel the same way about this game. I know everybody loves Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to play, one of the greatest coaches to ever play. But, hey, everything comes to an end after
a
while.
Here's the problem, Eric.
I like it. I like it.
They have some stat about the guys drop back to pass 90 times in the playoffs and hasn't been sacked once.
Yeah.
And so, and again, that's a very good defensive front. The Chiefs led the league in sacks with Pittsburgh at 52 for the season. These guys on the front four, they couldn't identify Tom Brady right now in a police lineup. They never got close to him. Mm. They don't know what he smells like, feels like, anything. It's incredible. And I know Aaron Donald is on a whole different level. And Ndamukong Suh has had a nice little playoff run. But the Patriots offensive line, there's something crazy about him, man. Brady inspires them to do things that just blow my mind.
But one thing about your defense in Kansas City, we've been saying all year long, you can't depend on this defense. You can't depend on this defense. You can't depend on. That's been their fight song. And what let them down? Their defense. They talked about our defense. The defense giving up 5.6 yards to carry. In fact, the Cowboys going to run all over. I said, we're going to shut Zeke Elliott down. What do? We go up to New Orleans, same thing. Oh, the Saints going to run the ball. What do? We shut them down. The thing with the Patriots, I think this makes them more dangerous right now, is the running back. What's his name?
Sony Michel.
Makes them dangerous because now you have a two-headed monster. Because when you think of the Patriots, I always think of the Patriots as a passing football team. When you think of run, you think of check down. That's their run. I will say this now. We're going to stop that running game. So most definitely, it's gonna come to Tom to throw. And Tom Brady's Tom Brady. He's great. But I'll say it again. I'm saying it on air. We're going to win that football game.
One more thing on your side.
Yes.
Because I think was proven this weekend about Sean McVay, and they have a little bit of that Patriots culture with them as well. Todd Gurley played poorly and got set down and never complained. Mm-hmm. And after the game, he's like, nah, man, I didn't deserve to play. I didn't play well. Mm-hmm. That blew my mind in terms of like, man, these guys are bought in.
Maturity.
We said that, we said earlier this year, you said this year, that could make Bay handle all these big personalities. Yeah. I said, you hear nothing coming out of that camp. Coming back on the plane, I was like, in the locker room, they were cheering. We had a great time in the locker room. On the plane, got on laughing and talking. All of a sudden, it was really quiet. I'm like, now, if this was our flight coming back in the day, oh my God, we'd have been losing our mind. I mean, I gotta say, Sean McVay, he sit right there back there with all the players. Just he has that team totally under control. They play within themselves. That's the great thing about the run. We've been underestimated all year. We were 13-3. Ah, oh, man, they doing they flashy. We're in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We're not flashy. We're in LA, so they call it flashy. This is a very good football team, solid football team, special teams, defense, offense, coaching, a special team, everything. So most definitely we're playing against
Rambassadors.
We're playing against the team that has done it better than no team's done, no coaches done, no quarterback, most definitely. But I'll say this much here. 17 years ago, they got us. And I looked at the stat right here where I see Jared Goff is 17 years younger and 72 days younger than Tom Brady. That's 17, that means something. I'm telling you. We gonna beat them.
Ooh,
you hear
this
him.
This check is clear this week.
You hear him,
Rambassador.
We gonna beat them.
Rambassador.
I'm just gonna drop the hat. I'm just gonna drop the hat with that.
We continue our look back at MLK. In 1965, after first march ended in violence and a second march was cut short, Martin Luther King Jr. led a march 54 miles from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, to protest racist voting laws. The Voting Rights Act passed a few months later and remains one of the civil rights movement's most enduring achievements. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dickerson and Michael Vick are back. Let's return to Kansas City, where the Chiefs suffered another crushing playoff loss yesterday, with the Patriots holding KC's dynamic offense to their fewest yards all season. It was also another crushing loss for Andy Reid, who has been one of the NFL's top coaches for two decades, but is just 1-5 in conference championship games and lost his only Super Bowl appearance. Reid addressed the disappointment after the game.
We wanted to bring the Hunt Trophy home here, so I think all our players did and all the coaches, and that's a tough thing. So, when somebody gets in, the fact that they get to do it right here is real tough. So, we're going to get that something we've got. So we just we'll bear down this offseason and make sure we get better.
I cannot call Andy Reid a bad coach because he's a very good coach. So was Dan Reeves. So was Marty Schottenheimer. Mm. So was Chuck Knox. There have been a lot of good coaches that couldn't win a Super Bowl. And I think that's where we're at with Andy Reid. He reminds me a lot of Dan Reeves. Excellent coach. Led two different franchises to the Super Bowl. But some sort of flaw there. And to me, with Andy Reid, it's he falls in love with the passing game. He's a poor clock manager. Mm. And he in Kansas City, he virtually ignores his defense. He sits on the bench and coaches Patrick Mahomes while the defense plays. And the defense looks like a team that the head coach doesn't care that much about defense.
You're absolutely correct. So, therefore, it's not Andy Reid's fault. Here's the thing. Andy Reid is an amazing coach to me. 1-5 in conference championship games. And I remember when he was 1-4, we were sitting there all those times in Philadelphia saying, golly, if you get to do the receiver, they're going to do something.
Right.
Then they got a receiver, and then he got hurt, but he still played with one leg in the Super Bowl. They almost won that. So we're here, and you look at Andy Reid, 1-5 in conference championships. If you give him a D coordinator, I like when people preface it, I don't like to get anybody fired. I don't care. My words don't mean that much. Bob Sutton got to go. Because Bob Sutton has
Football starts up front. You have a team that in standard pass rush has the most sacks in the NFL. In blitzing situations, most sacks in the NFL. They tied for the league lead. But you're 31st ranked? If it starts all up front and y'all get into the quarterback without blitzing and y'all still can't cover back there, don't tell me about the talent. Tell me about the scheme. That's Bob Sutton has to go right now. Give Andy Reid a D coordinator. The guy went out there in the first half and they got bludgeoned. I mean, it's a slow death to be on the sidelines for that many minutes watching a team just drive. And then Andy Reid went back to the lab at halftime like he did the first time they played the Patriots in the regular season and came back out and nearly won that game. D Ford stays on side. They do win that game. So it's not Andy Reid. Give him a D coordinator. You'll see the championship.
In basketball, was it the Knicks and the Bulls? That was their kryptonite, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. They couldn't get past them, really. That was their big thing.
Knicks couldn't.
Yeah, the Knicks couldn't get past the Bulls. And it's the same thing with Andy Reid trying to get past Belichick. I mean, that's his kryptonite.
What was it in the NFC? Belichick was in the AFC.
What are we talking about? We're talking about the AFC. Right, talking about the AFC right now.
Stop bringing them over. Belichick got everybody.
He got everybody's kryptonite. Yeah. But we got some kryptonite killer for him, I'm telling you that. You feel bad for Andy. Andy Reid's a really good coach. Yes. Everybody likes Andy Reid. But Bob Sutton, like you say, he has to go. One thing that shocked me, and I asked you this question, before we came on. I asked Marshall Faulk, in the old days, didn't we take the ball if you won the coin flip? Now, did they take the ball? They deferred.
They deferred. They put their first unit on
the field. I'm like, this is a high-powered offense.
And they
you
score.
Put your offense out there, and let's score some points. But instead, they put their bad defense out there and let them stay out there for, 8 minutes?
13%.
Andy Reid, one of the greatest offensive minds in the game, I think. A lot of these guys that you see coaching now and having productive offenses year in and year out came up under Andy. I think the Super Bowl is destined for him. And just like we talked about, it all comes down to how he handles the defense according to the situation. The players are not the issue. You still got D4, you got Justin Houston, you got Eric Berry. You add in some pieces, but the scheme has to change. I mean, that's where they struggled yesterday, and it was very difficult to watch because I was pulling for Andy. I thought this year was the year, and how good of a season Patrick Mahomes had, this would have just been icing on the cake. So some difficult decisions have to be made, and they have to be made often.
How about that? Great season by Patrick Mahomes, great game by Patrick Mahomes. You talk about him being in the first time in the AFC Conference Championship game, 117 quarterback rating. The dude's insane, and he's not only next, he's got now right now. He's going to win the MVP this year, hands down. And I want to talk to your point about complexion in terms of Andy Reid going to the sidelines, going to the bench, and just sitting there coaching up the offense and coaching up his quarterback. Sean McVay does the same thing. And you know what? He has a D coordinator that he trusts in that is a great D coordinator, Wade Phillips, that he can say, okay, true powers, delegation, you handle that. Andy Reid, find you the Wade Phillips for your organization so you can turn your back on your defense, quote unquote, and then go out there and just coach the offense like Sean McVay does.
He's been at it. Sean McVay is in his second season?
Yeah.
Second season.
Crazy.
So, yeah, second season.
Super Bowl.
Andy Reid's got a 20-year track record here.
Yeah.
And he's very loyal to his assistant coaches. You never see the move he made on Alex Smith. He doesn't make with his assistant coaches. Alex Smith, you're going to run out here and run around a quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is going to replace you next year. That was a cold-blooded decision. They went up in the draft and got Patrick Mahomes. I don't see that. Coaches, it's real easy to be, in my opinion, to be hard on the players, but the grown men, your peers that you work with, are you as hard on them? That's part of the job as the head coach. And Belichick has no problem doing that. I need to see it from Andy Reid.
I think this is what validates the change needs to be made. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots come in and they do to the Kansas City Chiefs. They play man coverage. That's not what they do. That's not their makeup. Mm-hmm. But that was the scheme for the game. Bob Sutton, you look at the
same thing.
The New England Patriots offense, and you have to say, okay, let's change up the scheme. Let's try something different. We played them early in the season. This didn't work. you know, put in a different type of defense that may look different or confuse Tom. Make him look at something different. They didn't do that. They lined up and played their same scheme, and that's why they're in the position they
in. But Bob's sitting there like, shoot, man, this game plan
worked.
We can
get him. No.
First time we played him, we gave up 43. This time we gave up 37. And that was an overtime.
Difficult. Everybody right now all over the media is, oh, my God, Tony Romo, he called all the plays beforehand. And it's because the Chiefs' defense is so predictable that he could definitely – he's like, well, hell – New England's just going to do the same thing they did last game and the same thing they what they did in the first quarter, they're going to do in the second, third, fourth quarter. It wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
The only people that found it hard, and we keep talking about, why didn't the Chiefs players recognize it? Why didn't the Chiefs coaches recognize it?
I picked up on that. Tony could have came out of the stands and threw for 300.
Yeah.
No understanding of this game.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dickerson and Michael Vick are back. Let's return to New Orleans, where Sean Payton says he will, quote, never get over the controversial non-call of pass interference against the Rams in yesterday's NFC Championship game. Even the Rams themselves seem to think they got away with one, with corner Nickel Robey Coleman admitting he got there early and Todd Gurley posting a doctored pic of himself trading jerseys with the referee.
That's amazing.
Nickel Robey, I'm sorry, Coleman. But anyway, listen, the question is, will this controversy taint the Rams?
Mm.
And I sure the hell hope not, and people need to let it go because, again, it's just like we talked about. The Saints blew this game, and the Rams went out and won it. And to me, I go back to, you know, we're talking about that controversy and not talking about Drew Brees was ineffective and inaccurate, late. Sean Payton did some dumb things. And I think we're overlooking the fact, and I've been a Sean McVay critic or not critic, skeptic, but his control of this team, and I go back to the, they should be talking about Todd Gurley getting benched and not complaining and how, what that says about the Los Angeles Rams more than this non-call.
Yeah, I don't think this non-call is going to taint it. Look, I've been on the victim side of a bad call, the Music City Miracle. And you know what's weird? Like, you sitting there like you want reality and time to stop. You're like, wait a minute. This is unfair. Handle this. Correct it. Okay, I don't need the NFL call. I don't need all the reporters saying you guys are in the right. Just change the reality. Let us advance. Let them go on.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The winning team. And then when I see Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis and all them dudes and all them gates that they lived through and played through in them Super Bowls, them rings look the same size as the ones without scandals. So you know what? It's a great storyline. In our world today, we love to talk about everything. I mean, and then we love even more to talk about the next thing. So our vicious cycle of just repeating whatever is going out there and then moving on to the next to repeat that for a week and then move on to the next, this is going to be something that we're going to move on to and focus in on this game.
They let us stay in it. I said they let us stay in it, and we came back and beat them. They, you know, usually one play don't win or lose a game. It's you know, you lose as a team, and that's what it comes down to. If you want to talk about a controversy, 2002, go back to the Patriots and the Raiders. That was a fumble. That wasn't even a controversy. but move on. The Patriots go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, yeah. They play the Rams. They cheat. They video it. They win the Super Bowl. Move on. Let's Deflategate. Move on. It's time to just move on. It is what it is. Mm. It's over with and man, up next.
You look at the Rams' body of work from week one all the way until yesterday. You can't take anything away from this team. They play good football. They play championship football all year. They beat good teams. They had some, you know, rough patches throughout the season, and they fought their way through it. And that was because they have a great coach. That's because they have players and leaders in that locker room and guys stepping up, understanding what it's about. So it's no way a Super Bowl appearance can be tainted from a call. I mean, I think we, you know, like Marcellus, like you just said, plenty of calls you wanted or didn't get. Plenty of calls I wanted that I didn't get, you know, and I probably would have had a ring on my finger. So, you know, you can't look at the game that way. It's unrealistic. But these guys deserve to play in this game. They deserve everything that they got coming, and they deserve the joy of the week.
I saw an article this morning, someone writing that Roger Goodell should step in here and that he has, under the commissioner's rules and leadership, he could come in here and basically disqualify this game or blah, blah, and that they should consider that. And it blew my mind. I'm just like, in the history. And when, so when I sit
absurd.
There, yeah, it's absurd. But it was written and was talked about and it's being discussed, and you can find damn near anything over social media. But someone actually wrote it, and I'm like, you know, in the grand scheme of like bad calls, this really doesn't even rate. It's not even worthy of all this. When I think about the Soviet Union, what the USSR did to us in the Olympics, I believe in 72 or whatever, when they stole the gold medal, from our basketball team. hell, when Seattle, I think, didn't they lost a Super Bowl game to the Steelers, where there had to be like three or four calls that I thought were ridiculous. This here has been blown out of proportion by social media and modern media and Sean Payton to deflect.
There you go.
It's just not that big of a deal.
No, it's not if you have the proper perspective and understanding of the game of football, as every single game has missed calls, has errors, and it has great plays. And it's just, what's that combination, or what do you want to hone in and then, like you said, exaggerate for that moment? You're going to exaggerate this. It was a tremendous play. They could have advanced. We get it. They're not the first in that conversation, first in that line. And ED, one player can lose a game. Yeah, Cody Parkey, he lost that game.
D4.
D4,
Scott Norwood. Yeah. Like, y'all want to keep going? Like, I hate when people say that.
But as a teammate, you don't blame the teammate.
Not in his
face.
I blame
face,
D4. Not in his I'm face. Not a teammate, but I blame D4.
Teammate.
Oh, yeah.
D4 need to line up on side.
Yeah, he did.
In the fourth quarter.
What was he looking at? I mean, when you saw it, I thought maybe, I said, well, maybe just the angle of the TV. Because we were on the plane, and I'm like, maybe it's just the angle. But he was way offside. Yeah, yeah.
One thing people can't forget is that game could have been ended right then and there for the Saints if they would have did what they were supposed to do. That had nothing to do with the Los Angeles Rams.
All right, welcome back. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for the greatest coach in all of sports, one of the greatest human beings in all of sport. The greatest of the greatest, Bill Belichick.
Well,
Uncle Jimmy, who are you to, I guess you're a referee.
Who am I?
Yeah.
You'll find out real quick as soon as your head is turned. When you see the flash of blue, you know who I am. I'm the one that knocked your ass out. That's who the hell I am.
What's wrong,
though? I told you, boy, hey, you got a whole bunch of people on Twitter, on Facebook, they tuning in right now. But Uncle Jimmy gonna whoop Jason's ass today.
All right,
well, I owe you a punch in your suck box.
All right, let's take a look at a highlight from our discussion earlier about Bill Belichick. Chiefs linebacker D Ford lining up in the neutral zone on a would-be game-decided interception was as inevitable as our president tweeting something inappropriate. The Chiefs lost 37-31 in overtime.
This success, this resume, is in part because he found the greatest quarterback of all time. And what he found in him is not the greatest talent. He found the greatest sheriff that any coach could ever find in terms of materializing your message.
All right, Uncle Jimmy. Our Chiefs took it on the chin this weekend to Bill Belichick. What's your take?
I wish you'd have took it on the chin. I told you last week what my take was, didn't I? You're a damn jinx. You jinx the Chiefs. Every time you open your damn mouth about the Chiefs winning the playoffs game, going to the Super Bowl, something bad happened.
Get him.
Man, there was never a doubt in my mind that we was going to lose that game.
What?
You blew it.
What about D Ford? Why are you blaming me? What about D Ford?
What about it? He's trying to make a damn play, Jason. He lined up the same way he's been lining up all season. Marcellus, can they call that play on every play if they want to?
Well, offsides in the backfield?
Yeah, can they call it?
They
yes,
did.
They can. Keep going. The refs see what the hell they want to see.
I saw that.
Rams damn near decapitated a player in front of 40,000 fans.
No more.
40 million people watching on TV, 80,000 fans.
There you go.
And the ref didn't see it. Ref sitting there like this.
Got your
ain't seen nothing. D Ford, half inch outside.
20 yards away. Ah! Offside!
That wasn't no half
damn jinx.
That wasn't no half inch. That was not a half
inch. I didn't jinx us. It was bad defense. It was Bob Sutton.
Yep.
Shut up. It's bad juju. That's what the hell it was. You ain't the only one that cost us a game either.
Oh, man.
That damn Mark Ellis cost us a game, part in this game, too.
What? I'm a jinx?
You and your San Diego Charging pretending to be a Patrick Mahomes fan. I see you, Mark Ellis.
Let me
you can't fool Uncle Jim.
You want me to unbutton and show my real colors?
Look here, with your good color, the purple, faking the funk ass. I know you. Damn. Let me tell you something. What? Until you do right by me, everything you even think about, don't fail. I put Uncle Jimmy's curse on both of you.
No.
Clippers ain't getting nowhere.
Oh, man, you been putting it on me.
Ain't
then.
Winning nothing.
It's been on me too long.
Until you stop pretending to be a Patrick Mahomes fan. And as for you, Mr. Chubby Ubby Ubby Wubby, I've talked to the Fox cafeteria. All honey buns, Zuzu's, Wham Whams, and processed fried foods is out of the fast Fox food cafeteria and Moe's until you apologize for ever stepping foot in Kansas City and associating yourself with anything that vaguely reveals you being there. We're going to starve your ass off this bandwagon. You're going to get the hell up out of here. Gotta go.
Look, man, I earned the right to be
hey,
a
man, Chiefs Diamond player. Joe don't even want you coming back to his hair plug. How bad must you be? Oh, man, you tell him to keep his ass up out of here if you see him. Diamond, he ain't welcome.
Diamond Joe's closed about 10 years ago.
How long you been gone from Kansas City?
Right. After that fight you had up in there, they was like, we closed the
business. Education rate went down.
Oh,
no
man.
No more nurses in school.
Let me give my approval rating for Bill Belichick. The greatest of the greatest of the greatest. Bill Belichick's perfect in every way. He's a 25. I'm up 25 points total. He's a perfect 100. He is the GOAT of all GOATs. He is, Bill, I apologize and I beg forgiveness for ever questioning you, for ever doubting you. I love you, Bill Belichick. I love you, Tom Brady. I'm still a Chiefs fan.
Eddie the Mush.
But I'll never, ever question Eddie. You again,
yeah,
Bill
man.
Belichick.
Look at that. That's too much makeup call right there. 100 Belichick, character, authenticity, Belichick.
What's the question?
Yeah, dude.
What's
the question? All them gates he done made. And,
what's the question?
Spygate. The
only gate you care about is Ollie Gates.
Gates barbecue.
Man, I hate this dude,
look,
I swear.
I give him a perfect job performance and all that. He's a GOAT, but golly, there's still some issues with Bill Belichick. You can't say
what?
He's perfect.
What is it?
What? What he's done.
Why would you question Bill Belichick?
I won't question him on the field, but.
Malcolm Butler should be run out of the league at this point.